live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, councillors have voted overwhelmingly against applying a 5% increase in commercial rates as part of the council's budget for 2018. Milford Garda Station has been given the go-ahead for a major refurbishment. Mary Lou MacDonald looks set to become the next Sinn Féin president, and Gardaí in Sligo Town say the policing service will run as normal despite 101 members of the force staging a walkout. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with PJ Lynch at about 5:15. First in news, councillors have today voted overwhelmingly against applying a 5% increase in commercial rates as part of the council's budget for 2018. Fianna Fáil members have proposed selling off social housing in its place to generate income. The party has submitted a total of 30 queries in relation to next year's budget. Party whip councillor Kieran Brogan says he knows of no other local authority proposing such a move, and to increase the rate would send a negative message to businesses.
I think there are many challenges at the moment for us in the Northwest, and of course we all know the concern over Brexit and the issue over sterling as well. A lot of businesses have worked very, very hard in order to survive over the last number of years. This is a very challenging time for the businesses, and I don't know of any local authority anywhere in the country who's proposing a 5% increase. It's disappointing that that's exactly what the executive have done. As a party, we're not going to support that. We can't support it. I think the council has to look at some of their own costs, have to look where they can identify savings in many other ways. I think as a county, we have, over the last few years, been innovative in many ways in support of tourism, supporting small businesses. We need to continue to do that. Employment is a huge part of what we are here in a big rural county, and there's many challenges. We know that firsthand as a party, so we can not stand here today in Lifford and support a 5% increase in commercial rates.
Do you think it effectively sends a negative message out to small businesses and businesses in general?
Yeah, I think it's something that should have been thought out a wee bit better before the book was published. That's what we were advocating at the workshop here. It's disappointing that they went ahead and produced the book with 5% on it. But I think at the end of the day, it's a role for us as elected members to adopt the budget. And as I said at the meeting, it's up for us to sit down now as a group with the executive and indeed with the other political groupings as well, because on days like this it's important where we can put on the county jersey and do what's best for Donegal and the people that we represent. And at the end of the day, we have a lot of very positive things. We have a lot to offer as a county, and we know by doing that together we can achieve a lot. So hopefully we can get some agreement on this going forward.
Meanwhile, the deadline to pass the budget is Friday week, December the 1st. Labour's Martin Farron says to accept the increase would send out the wrong signal. He's calling on all local representatives to work together to find a solution ahead of the deadline.
We've got so many small businesses starting up there at the moment within the county. And to ask people who are struggling out there at the moment to increase their commercial rates by another 5% is absolutely sending out the wrong signals. We can't be doing that. What we've got to do is to be encouraging people, more business, to be opening up and to support them as much as we possibly can.
Now, you do believe a solution can be found, and you are calling on all party members in the chamber to come together to find that solution.
Well, I think you've heard all the parties speaking in there today, the chief whoops, the whoops of each party, and they've basically been saying the same thing as me, that they're not prepared to increase commercial rates by 5%. Collectively now, we've got to get together, we've got to sit down and see if we can find a solution to the problem which we have here at the moment, and to get this budget passed. For obvious reasons, you know, we have to ensure there's a responsibility on us as public representatives, the 37 of us in there, to ensure that we pass this budget. But I think everybody is singing off the one hymn sheet. No one is prepared to increase commercial rates by 5%. We have to find this money elsewhere.
Mary Lou MacDonald is tipped to become the next Sinn Féin president. That's despite a number of high-profile contenders for the job ruling themselves out, including Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty. Gerry Adams announced his intention to step down after 34 years as Sinn Féin leader at the weekend. Speaking earlier in the 9 till noon show, Deputy Doherty says for personal reasons, it is not the right time for him to step up as he has a duty to his own constituency in West Donegal.
There's a plan of transition within the party. Now, that said, the next leader of the party, that's going to be an open contest. It will be open for any member of the party once we set that process and train to seek that position if they so wish. And, I've made it clear before there was a vacancy that's not something I would do at this time. And that's for personal reasons. It's not that I lack ambition in terms of leading the party. It's just the fact that I've, a young family of other responsibilities. We're more than just political activists and political leaders. We're also fathers. We're also husbands. We're also a family person. And, we also have a duty to our own constituency. And, in West Donegal, you're quite a far distance from Dublin. So it's about balancing all of that. And I'm very confident at this point in time that there's ample persons with the leadership skills to step into the shoes of.
And you wouldn't contest the deputy leadership or would you expect?
I've made it clear that there is no position for the dead. There is no vacancy in terms of the deputy leadership position. There will be an open contest as part of the National Officer Board. We'll discuss that. We'll do it over the next month. We're not kind of rushed about this. We're very, very relaxed about all of this. We know what we're doing, and there'll be nominations will open probably next year.
The Taoiseach said he doesn't have much respect for commentary about him in the British press. It's after the Sun newspaper labelled him a Brexit buffoon. Sean Defoe has more.
At a meeting of EU leaders on Friday, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said it seemed as though the British government hadn't really thought Brexit through. It was strong commentary on a day when both Varadkar and Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney met their British counterparts to express their unhappiness at the lack of clarity over the border. The comments led to the UK Sun telling the Taoiseach to shut his gob and calling him a Brexit buffoon. His reaction.
I don't read the Sunday papers much anymore, but I did read that particular article in the Sun. I think it's the second or third time that the Tory press have had a go at me, which is interesting because here in Ireland, the left and others accuse me of being a Tory. So I guess I treat all of that commentary with the respect it deserves, which isn't very much.
Even Labour leader Brendan Howland came to the Taoiseach's defence, slamming the article. But others think the criticism is fair. Former Tory MP Edwina Curry saying that Leo Varadkar is wrong to hold up talks until there's a deal on the border issue.
A bit like he's cutting off his nose to spite his face. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
The rhetoric continues while real negotiations have stalled. Sean Defoe in Dublin.
Milford Garda Station has been given the go-ahead for a major refurbishment. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has announced today that works at the station are due to begin before the end of the year. Paul Quinn has more details.
Works will include additional space by extending and redesigning the existing station to include conference rooms, incident rooms, additional storage and an upgrade of the public office, as well as extensive refurbishment of the cells. The announcement follows discussions with Minister of State with responsibility for the Office of Public Works, Kevin Boxer-Moran. Minister McHugh says the Office of Public Works are completing the tendering process at the moment. He says they're badly needed and he's delighted to have helped secure the progress.
A man has pleaded not guilty to the murder of a 35-year-old Strabane man at a pub near Croke Park in Dublin. Michael Barr, a father of five from County Tyrone, was shot seven times when two masked gunmen burst into the pub in April 2016. Frank Greeny reports.
Opening his case before the non-jury court today, prosecuting barrister Dominic McGinn said Michael Barr started his shift at the Sunset House pub on Summerhill Parade just before 5:30 on the evening of April 25th last year. 3 hours later, he said two armed men wearing masks and boiler suits burst into the pub and shot him five times in the head. Loaded guns, masks, balaclavas and boiler suits were found in the suspected getaway car a short time later. Mr. McGinn said the accused tried to board a flight to Bangkok the following day but had to wait 24 hours because his passport had expired. He was arrested in Dublin 1 month later. It is the prosecution's case that Eamon Cumberton was inextricably linked to the items found in the car, which were linked to the shooting. The 30-year-old denies the charge. Frank Greeny, the Special Criminal Court.
Gardaí in Sligo Town say the policing service will run as normal despite 101 members of the force staging a walkout. Officers refused to enter their station today, which they say is unsafe and overcrowded. But they are reassuring the public everyone will report for duty and emergencies will be dealt with from an off-site control room. The force's divisional representative Ray Wims says problems at the station were first raised in a report in 2016.
Our workplace has been deemed unsafe. It was a terrible indictment on police, and like, we should be properly resourced, but this did just not start in November 2017. This has been ongoing for years. In 2016, the GRA commissioned an external independent report. He found the station totally unfit for purpose, overcrowding, cramped conditions, lack of hygiene facilities, lack of welfare facilities, no proper shower room, no proper locker room. There was a walkout planned in October 2016. We met Garda management that time, and there was a negotiated agreement that certain admin facilities would vacate the building, which would alleviate and provide more room. Unfortunately, that agreement was reneged on, and that left us in a terrible position. In the 13 months, there was no visible improvements in Sligo Garda Station that would have brought attention. And even the engineer that done the report, done another report this weekend, and he actually said the conditions deteriorated since 2016. So it's sad that it has come to this, but it's unfortunate. We felt, and the members of the GRA felt, they had no other option.
One of the senior political figures on last week's cross-border trade mission to Boston says there is no doubt that the initiative will lead to investment and job creation. Councillor Noel Jordan, Las Cahirla of Donegal County Council, was part of the group which included representatives of Donegal County and Derry City and Strabane District Council, third-level institutions and 15 businesses from across the region. Speaking following his visit to Boston, Councillor Jordan has welcomed the announcement that Abbott Ireland is set to double its workforce outside Donegal Town from 200 to 400.
It's a great news story for Donegal Town and the surrounding areas of Donegal, because the present plant in Abbott has been established since 2006. It's great news to hear that there are going to be 200 additional jobs, which is very badly needed.
You're just back to Donegal, actually, having spent a number of days in Boston and the eastern seaboard of the US as part of that cross-border delegation that was attending the Golden Bridges Conference and other events. A successful few days?
A very successful few days, but I have to say it was very exhausting, but equally very awarding. We had a very busy itinerary, meeting with a large number of businesses, a lot of them global businesses, some of them already invested in Ireland, but very interested in investing in the Northwest region. We also had 15 SMEs, businesses from the region, with a strong focus on helping develop a new market and business opportunities and identifying a possible inward investment pipeline for the Northwest.
Obviously too early to put any flesh on the bones as such and give any specific figures, but are you confident that as a result of that deputation, as a result of those meetings, we will see investment and we will see jobs?
Without a doubt, very positive vibes coming out of it, and speaking to some of the small businesses that had gone out there previously, they have received investment into the county and hoping to receive a lot more.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 16 minutes past five. Time for the latest sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer first. And Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill is among the front runners in the betting to replace Tony Pulis as West Brom boss. Pulis was sacked today, with West Brom just a point and one place above the Premier League relegation zone. His final game in charge was Sunday's 4-0 defeat at home to Chelsea. One of Pulis's former sides, Stoke, are in Premier League action this evening. They go to Chris Houghton's Brighton with kick-off at the Amex at 8. Brighton have collected 15 points from 11 games so far this season, and Houghton is surprised by the performance of his newly promoted squad.
If you'd said to me that that we would be in this position in a league at this time of the season, then I would have said, of course, absolutely delighted with it, but certainly surpassed my expectations.
Drogheda United will have to navigate their return to the First Division without Pete Mahon. The veteran manager has departed United Park after two seasons in charge. Sligo Rovers continue to add to their squad ahead of the new season. Winger Adam Wickstead has joined the Bitter Red after a season at Drogheda United. It's been a day of outgoings at United Park and Pete Mahon. Chris Coleman says he is super excited about his new Sunderland job. The former Wales coach takes charge of the Black Cats for the first time against Aston Villa tomorrow. Sunderland currently prop up the Championship table, but Coleman says he is ready for the rebuilding challenge.
Right, we're bottom of the Championship. There's been negativity surrounding it. It's still Sunderland Football Club. It still has 47,000 fans. They may not all be coming at the minute, but they're still there. I know all the challenges here. I'm under no illusions, but I'm super excited. And it certainly won't be in a comfort zone up here. But I would say nothing ever good comes from a comfort zone anyway. So,
in rugby news, Joey Carberry will definitely miss Saturday's test with Argentina after it was confirmed he'd suffered a fractured wrist during Ireland's 23-20 defeat of Fiji. The versatile Leinster back could be out of action for between 6 and 8 weeks. In more positive injury news for the Ireland coach Joe Schmidt, Munster prop John Ryan has returned to the squad after having rehabbed a calf problem. After Saturday's underwhelming performance against Fiji, CJ Stander says there's plenty to improve on against the Pumas.
You learn a lot from each other, and as players, you know, as we look back, I think I just said this, the few the many turnovers we made in the first half, we just need to look after the ball and make sure that we keep it for one or two more phases and just control the game the way we want to play it. Just look after the breakdown. I think a few times they got in there and just slow down our attack and put us in the back foot.
Gary Ringrose is in line to make his return to action in the next week or two. The centre has returned to training after undergoing shoulder surgery during the summer. Leinster coach Stuart Lancaster says Ringrose is more likely to see action against Treviso rather than Friday's Pro 14 fixture with the Dragons. Michael Checa is facing a World Rugby investigation over his conduct during Australia's 30-6 defeat to England on Saturday. The Australia head coach was infuriated by a number of refereeing decisions, including a disallowed try for Michael Hooper. Checa was appeared to have mouthed expletives about referee Ben O'Keefe and was also seen to remonstrate with officials and fans. In tennis, Martina Navratilova has led the tributes to former Wimbledon champion Yana Novotna, who has died aged just 49. Novotna claimed her only career Grand Slam singles title at the All England Club in 1998, 5 years after her defeat to Steffi Graf in the final. Navratilova described Novotna as a true friend and an amazing woman. Staying with tennis, and Grigor Dimitrov reckons there's more to come from him after getting the biggest win of his tennis career. The Bulgarian beat David Goffin in 3 sets to claim the season-ending ATP Finals title in London. He'll end the year as world number 3. In golf news, Shane Lowry has climbed to 58th in the latest golf world rankings. The Offaly man has moved up 43 places, having finished 2nd at the DP World Championship in Dubai. The winner, John Rahm, has moved into the top 5, while Rory McIlroy has dropped 2 places to 10th. And finally, this evening in boxing, David Hay has been forced to withdraw from his rematch with Tony Bellew. The former heavyweight champion suffered an arm injury in training and reportedly requires surgery. Hay was due to fight Bellew at London's O2 Arena on December 17th. That's all for your sports news this evening. Your next sports update on Highland Radio will be after 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Michaela at the news desk.
Thanks, PJ. An RTE sports producer has appeared in a UK court accused of grooming a child for sexual activity. 55-year-old Kieran Craven is said to have flown from Ireland to Leeds to meet up at a hotel with someone he believed to be a 13-year-old girl. However, her online identity had been created by so-called paedophile hunters. Trish Lafferty reports.
Married Dublin man Kieran Craven appeared at Leeds Magistrates Court today, where he was charged with attempting to meet a child following grooming and attempting to cause or incite a child to engage in sexual activity. The court heard the offences were said to have taken place from July 1st, when the defendant first contacted the girl, to Saturday when he arrived at the hotel. He was given bail and is due to appear at Leeds Crown Court next month. His bail conditions are that he resides at an address in Ireland, has no unsupervised contact with any child aged under 16, and if requested by police, to supply any device that's internet enabled.
A Donegal deputy is calling on all elected representatives to work together in a bid to secure the proposed new cinema in Donegal town. Plans for a proposed 5-screen theatre were rejected by the council this month over fears of increased traffic volume in the area. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says he is shocked by how the council responded to the planning application, and there it says there needs to be a concerted effort to rescue the proposal.
But
now that it has been refused, and I was in Donegal Town over the weekend, and I witnessed firsthand a great sense of anger and disappointment at this lost opportunity for the town. Emotion and sentiment are running very high on this issue. Of course, we must now try to ensure that the applicant might reapply, and that the issues which have been raised by the council, they could be dealt with. But of course, we must always remember, and I heard this time and time again, that the local authority should be an active agent for development and progress. I know it's a planning authority, but of course, we're also in the business of identifying the needs of the community, and we should facilitate their development. So all in all, it's very disappointing news for Donegal Town.
You touched on the anger of locals to the news that this isn't going ahead. Is this a direct response maybe from the public that the local authority is failing them?
Well, Donegal Town have had a number of false starts in the past, and of course there's an uplift in the economy at the moment, but it hasn't arrived here in the northwest. And I think the general public don't differentiate between the various sections of the council, whether it's economic development or planning. They felt that this was a golden opportunity.
And for weather now, outbreaks of light rain and drizzle this evening becoming more prolonged and heavier in parts. Mild and mostly moderate southwest winds with lowest temperatures tonight of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, councillors have today voted overwhelmingly against applying a 5% increase in commercial rates as part of the council's budget for 2018. Fianna Fáil members have proposed selling off social housing in its place to generate income. A man has pleaded not guilty to the murder of a 35-year-old Strabane man at a pub near Croke Park in Dublin. Michael Barr, a father of five from County Tyrone, was shot seven times when two masked gunmen burst into the pub in April of 2016. Mary Lou McDonald is tipped to become the next Sinn Féin president. That's despite a number of high-profile contenders for the job ruling themselves out, including Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty. And Gardaí in Sligo Town say the policing service will run as normal despite 101 members of the force staging a walkout. Officers refused to enter their station today, which they say is unsafe and overcrowded. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news and sport on our website at highlandradio.com. And we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notice says for this Monday evening, November the 20th. The death has taken place of Raymond Maguire, 17 Moran Park, Newton Stewart. Remains will be reposing at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, leaving at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Church, Glenock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The sudden death has taken place at the South West Acute Hospital Enniskillen of Martina McColgan, 113 Mealmore Drive, Strathroy, Oma, formerly of Victoria Bridge. Her remains will repose at her sister Mina McColgan's home, 62 Mealmore Drive, Strathroy, from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Killyclogher at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in Greenhill Cemetery, Oma. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Kate Galbraith, née Burke, 23 Hospital Road, Castlederg. Funeral from her late home tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for service in Derg Parish Church, Castlederg at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Castlederg Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Marie Curie Cancer Care, care of Charles Lynch Funeral Director, 50 Castlefin Road, Castlederg, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Noreen McCormick, Station Road, Glenfad, Porthall, Lifford. Her remains are reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital, Kerv Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Celine Doherty, 28 St John's Park, Buncrana Road, Derry, and formerly of Umgal, Malinhead. Remains are reposing at her brother Anthony's residence at Umgal, Malinhead, to repose overnight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Lag Malin, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place in Letterkenny University Hospital of Tony Morrison, 2 St Oliver's Avenue, Buncrana, whose remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Nora Gallagher, née Mullen, Glencar, Scotch, Letterkenny. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Oncology Department, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charlie McLafferty Funeral Directors, Churchill and Letterkenny.